The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Dear dying Lamb, our precious blood, shall never lose its power. To all the ransomed church of God, be saved, you sin no more. The text for today is Luke 23, verses 46 to 48. And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, Certainly this was a righteous man. And all the people that came together to that sight, beholding the things which were done, smote their breasts and returned. This is our text. In the Lamb that was slain, beloved fellow Christians, what shall we do? Shall we weep or shall we rejoice? Today we must sing, Alas, and did my Saviour die, and did my Saviour bleed, and did my Sovereign die? And surely, if ever there was an occasion for shedding tears, it is Memorial Day of Jesus' death, who died for us all and gave his life as a sacrifice to atone for our sins. But again we know, had Jesus not died for us, we should all be lost and suffer eternal misery in the world to come. It was the death of our divine Lord that rescued us from this terrible doom and opened unto us the gates of paradise, that we might live in happiness and bliss which words cannot describe. Must not Good Friday, viewed from such a point, be unto us all a day of great rejoicing, since this day we were rescued from hell and the gates of heaven were thrown open before us. If ever a minister of the gospel, whose sacred duty it is to proclaim the divine truth, must feel his own ability, it is on this day, when he is confronted with the most important event in the history of this world, when he is to dwell upon that which came to pass on Mount Calvary. That spot is the centre of all things. The streams of ancient history converge here, and here the river of modern history takes its rise. The eyes of patriarchs and prophets strain forward to Calvary, and now the eyes of all generations and in all races look back to it. The seeker after truth, who has explored the realms and knowledge of knowledge, comes to Calvary and finds at last that he has reached the centre. The weary heart of man that has wandered the world over in search of perfect sympathy and love at last arrives here and finds rest. Still though the thing be too high for human thought, we will venture forward and occupy our minds with it and receive into our hearts as much as we can of the truth that has a breadth and length and height and depth which pass understanding. With the aid of God's Holy Spirit, let us consider the death of Jesus and see how Jesus died and what is the effect of his death. Jesus died on the cross. His last suffering began the night before in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he felt the approach of the last terrible struggle, and in consequence thereof, his agony became so intense that drops of sweat intermingled with blood from his face upon the ground. During that sleepless night, he was abused in various ways. He was taken captive and led from one place to another, and in the morning he was delivered to the Roman governor Pontius Pilate. Then he was scourged and crowned with thorns and ill-treated until he was almost exhausted from pain and fatigue. At last he was affixed to the cross, his hands and feet being pierced with nails. But how did Jesus die on the cross? What was the cause of his death? Did he die from exhaustion? Did he hold on to life as long as he could? And did he grow weaker and weaker while hanging on the cross until his strength failed him and life passed away? Did life ever weigh and vanish slowly and finally disappear like a stream that is lost in the sands of the desert? St. Luke says, he cried out with a loud voice. Loud did his voice ring through the darkness that attended his death on Mount Calvary. A man dying from exhaustion can scarcely utter a faint whisper in his last moments, and his attendants must strain their ears to catch his last words. Jesus, therefore, did not die from exhaustion. He's in full possession of his strength to the last minute. This is one of the most remarkable features connected with his death. It was so surprising to all who witnessed the death of the divine sufferer that they did not know what to make of it. We are told they feared greatly, and even Pilate marveled when he was informed that Jesus was already dead. The crucified generally lingered for 12 to 48 and even 72 hours. And to see a man crucified, die, shouting with a loud voice, this was something unheard of. Perhaps someone will say, what is the difference? Is it not sufficient simply to know that Jesus died for us? What does it concern us, whether he died from exhaustion or in full strength? My friends, this is not a matter of indifference. Had Jesus died from exhaustion, had he held on to life, he had to give up his soul, then it would be apparent that he was not God but a mere man. Then the old serpent really would have conquered him in his great struggle. This crying with a loud voice shows that Jesus did not die because he had to yield to the inevitable. That his death was not an irresistible doom, but an act of his will. Jesus certainly suffered and endured the pains of a dying man, but while mortal man dies because he must, Jesus, the Son of God, died because he would. He certainly could have more than outlived the thieves that were crucified with him, but he died voluntarily. Did he not say to the Jews, I lay down my life that I might take it again? No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. Voluntarily, Jesus surrendered himself to his enemies. Never would they have been able to apprehend him or do him any harm had he resisted. But it was of his own will that he submitted to the ill treatment, to the scourging, crucifixion, and all the sufferings. It was of his own will that he brought the great sacrifice of his life and gave up his spirit. We are also told which were his last words. The last words of a dying friend or relative are dear to us, especially if they are words of Scripture. Christ's last words were a quotation from the most precious of the books in the Old Testament, from the 31st Psalm. He said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit, and having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Satan, who tempted the divine sufferer in the wilderness, certainly was close at hand when Jesus was dying, and eager to seize his departing soul. But Jesus plucked his spirit away from those hostile hands and securely placed it in the hands of the Father. His spirit was now in paradise, while his lifeless body was in the hands of men and was afterwards borne to the grave. The terrible struggle was ended, and the man of sorrows was beyond the reach of all enemies, visible and invisible, by whom he had been beset. And what is the effect of his death? Two most remarkable incidents are recorded in our text. As a direct result of Jesus' death, that of the centurion glorifying God and that of the people smiting their breasts. We read, Now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, Certainly this was a righteous man. How wonderful! This centurion was a heathen, and his soldiers had abused the divine sufferer, had mocked him, spitted on him, crowned him with thorns, and ill-treated him from the moment he fell into their hands until the very last. The centurion himself may have taken a part in these proceedings. At least he did not interfere. But what a change in this man. As soon as the head of the man on the cross drops upon his breast and life departs, the centurion was standing up at the cross and watched the dying victim. Perhaps it had been dawning on him for some time. This man must be, after all, what he claimed to be. He had heard each of Jesus' remarkable words on the cross. He had witnessed the wonderful conversion of the robber and the inexplicable signs of the revolting nature, the darkening of the sun and the earthquake. Now that Jesus' eyes were closed in death, he cannot keep his peace. He bursts forth in praise for the dying Saviour and calls him the Son of God, as the holy evangelist reports. Tradition says that this centurion's name was Longinus, and afterwards he became the Bishop of Cappadocia and ultimately died a martyr. The other instance illustrating the effect of Jesus' death is recorded in the words, And all the people that came together to that sight, beholding the things that were done, smote their breasts and returned. How wonderful change did Jesus' death produce in the hearts of the people. Misled by the elders and chief priests, persuaded and moved by the heads of the Jewish nation, they had been crowding around Pilate's judgment seat like a pack of hungry wolves, shouting until they were hoarse, "Crucify him, crucify him." When Pilate finally consented to grant them their bloody thirsty wish and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, "I am innocent of the blood of this just person, see ye to it," they all cried with one accord, "His blood be on us and on our children." And even while Jesus was hanging on the cross, the people that passed by railed on him, wagging their heads and saying, "If you are you that destroys the temple in 3 days and build it, save yourself. If you be the Son of God, come down from the cross." But what is he here? These same people saying when they behold a lifeless body of the victim, their lips are sealed, they dare not say any more, but they smite their breast, indicating thereby their sorrow and remorse for what they have been doing. And this, my friends, is the effect of Jesus' death unto this day. When we fix our eyes upon the dying Lord, when we behold him nailed to the accursed tree and pouring out his soul in death amid heart-rending agonies and suffering, what will be the effect on our soul? If we do not willfully resist and harden our own heart, as it did the chief priests and elders, the first effect will be extreme sorrow. Sorrow for our sins, which caused the innocent suffer the painful death of our divine Saviour. We will be moved and smite our breasts and to say, "Oh, what have I done? I have nailed the Son of God to the cross. My sin it was which made him suffer and die." And the second effect of Jesus' suffering in this is that we will glorify God as did the centurion. We will praise God and his wonderful grace and mercy and great love wherewith he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to die that we might live. We will feel assured now that Jesus died for us, that our sins are all wiped away, and that the penalty is fully paid for all our transgressions. May the death of our dear Saviour produce in us all this double effect. And thus we shall behold the Lamb of God which takes away the sin of the world. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.